Jesus' interaction with a Samaritan woman is a familiar story for many of us. It speaks to our current national divide, which is unfortunately mirrored in the church. Jews and Samaritans despised each other. Their grievances went back 400 years. They were family, both descendants of Abraham and Sarah. Jesus' example shows us how to break down such entrenched barriers. It's simple, but not simplistic. And sometimes simple things are really difficult. We've just heard three illustrations of Jesus' example for breaking down barriers from three of our fellow brothers and sisters. And I know there are many more stories that illustrate Jesus' example here in the congregation. We really need to hear each other's stories. After just three chapters in John's gospel, hostility toward Jesus was growing in the Judea-Jerusalem area. But Jesus knew his vision was not yet accomplished, so he shifted his ministry efforts to Galilee. He knew he would eventually have to return to Jerusalem to face that hostility. But Samaria lay between Judea and Galilee. Most Jews would travel 6 days to avoid Samaria. Jesus chose the 3-day route through Samaria. The story is worthy of a month or 2 months or 6 months of sermons, but not to worry, I will focus on just one point in half a sermon. And that point is what our Asian brothers and sisters have invited us to focus on: following Jesus together across barriers. As John tells the story, the differences between Jesus and the Samaritan woman are at the very heart of the story. I think she deserves a name, so I'm going to call her Samantha. What are those differences? Well, between the two of them, there were deep cultural, ethnic, and religious differences. Deep. And then there was the gender divide. And lastly, the position in life divide. Jesus was a respected teacher, traveling with a whole entourage of disciples and other followers. Samantha was very alone, most likely ostracized by her peers. Thus, she was likely at the very bottom of her community, alone. Jesus, fully aware of these differences and the accompanying risks to his reputation, nonetheless approached her for help. It was high noon. It was hot. Jesus was tired, the text tells us, and he needed hydration. Mennonites serve others. That's what we do. Let's keep doing that. But the best opportunities to communicate good news happen when we invite others to meet our needs, invite others to teach us as we serve them. That's what it means to be missional. Mennonites have been stumbling over that word for 30 years now. I think it's really quite simple. In just what I said, the best opportunities to communicate good news happen when we invite others to meet our needs as we serve them. Mutuality. It's simple to understand, I think. It's just not easy to do. Like all of Jesus' hard sayings, they're easy to understand. There's nothing confusing about them. They're just really hard to live out. Like, love your enemies. How can it be said more simply? It's just really difficult to do. Jesus asking for a drink of water from the other, something so simple and yet so difficult often for us as Mennonites, set up all that followed. So since this is half a sermon, I'm going to fast forward to the end. The conversation which followed Jesus' request for water was fascinating. Jesus intentionally used images he knew Samantha would take literally instead of spiritually. But that's the point. The stark differences between Jesus and Samantha is precisely what enabled her to be deeply engaged in the conversation, which eventually enabled her to experience an epiphany, a complete breakthrough in understanding. The result? Samantha became the first evangelist beyond Jesus in John's gospel. Let that sink in. The first evangelist, a Samaritan woman, disrespected by her own peers, her village, a Samaritan village, became followers of Jesus because she simply told others what she had experienced in her encounter with Jesus. In my church planting experiences, it is precisely the Samanthas that are the key to developing congregational health. I propose that Jesus crossing those barriers was at the heart of the outcome. Not primarily his skillful use of words and metaphors. Remember, Jesus attempted to bring good news to a number of his respectable peers. And his skillful words often didn't work. When someone who is really different suddenly shows up and simply relates with the other, the other's mind immediately goes to, what is this person so different from me and my tribe doing here? It opens doors in the other's mind, which often nothing else can open. Remember Jonah? That's why his less than compassionate sermon worked so well. Ninevites heard it through the filter of, what's this Israelite who should be scared to death of us Assyrians doing here? The good news for us today we don't have to cross oceans or all kinds of national barriers like Wayne and Lois and Elsa did. We just have to cross something. Maybe just a hallway or a street or railroad tracks. And if we translate that metaphor into COVID-19 realities, we don't even have to leave our home. Just call or text or email someone who is different from you. Might even be a brother or sister in the congregation, and simply relate. It creates the, why is this person reaching out to me? Filter through which your words and relating can have unimaginable kingdom results. Asian Anabaptists today, in offering this service to us, are following Jesus together in crossing barriers. May their invitation for us to do the same result in, on earth as it is in heaven, transformation in our lives. Amen.